From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready here with you in the Clark Ford studio, starting another week. Not really starting a week. We did one Monday. The holiday has me entire screwed up. It's not Monday. It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It is hump day.
It is hump day. So messed up after yesterday.
It's really one of those weeks where, from a podcast standpoint, you could punt 3 days, and I don't know that anyone would notice. It's just, these are the two, I said this last week and this week, are the two deadest weeks of the year.
Yeah, the entire year. Even during the off season around.
Of the whole 52, These are the two deadest, including Christmas and stuff.
Because you don't have media day, you don't have all that stuff. And then, so yeah, that's fair.
I'll be at media days Monday, and then we'll have, hopefully, a lot of interviews next week with people all over the league. Ole Miss goes on Thursday. We'll discuss Ole Miss on Friday. It'll be a weird week because I've got to get out to the Met, not the Met, but to the Winfrey early. But we'll have lots of interviews recorded. It'll be a different kind of week, and then
you'll get stuff.
You'll get
stuff. It's a stuff week.
Yes. And then after that, it slows down, but you have that in the background so you can talk about it. And then,
I mean, camp does start the 1st of August, so you have it coming fast at that point.
And then it's crazy through the end of the college baseball season. But these are the two dead weeks. It's a dead period in recruiting. It's just different. These are two weeks that are just kind of there, honestly.
Way to promote today's show, Neil. Good job.
I've been an honest guy.
Always closing.
Always honest guy, though. That's the way it is. It's just, there's not much. People say, what's going on? Really nothing much. We're still kind of waiting on stuff. I am curious next week how Freeze handles the media barrage.
Yeah. It's his second year of it. Had it last year as well to a certain extent, so. That more on today's show. We've been telling you for about a week now. The 2017 Jimmy Johns football camp coming up Saturday, July 22nd at Macomb High School. If you're interested in that, 601-320-4796. You can also sign up online at eventbrite.com. That is Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, Eventbrite. Search Jimmy Johns there on their website, and you can pull it up. They're introducing the Ben Craddock and Jimmy Johns Brotherhood Scholarship. Really community building. You're gonna your kids are going to learn a lot about football, going to learn a lot about technique, and just it's a community type camp more than a really competitive type camp. So something to keep an eye out for. Again, July 22nd for that. Then you got a Believe football camps in Jackson starting tomorrow. They got over 250 kids already signed up for that. That's the one where if your kid's a defensive lineman, he's going to get worked with by John Youngblood, Channing Ward, actual high-level football players. Cinquez Golson, Mike Hilton taking part of that, Quincy Adebojo, a lot of different players there. Just off the top of my head, those are a few that stuck out. Dante Moncrief, actually, I probably shouldn't forget the NFL wide receiver. But so anyway, that starts in Jackson. Still accepting things there. So it's, you got to Believe football camp starting tomorrow in Jackson. As always, check out the Oxford Exxon, the Oxford Crystal. We've been telling you a couple weeks. It's hot. It is humid these days. You can get the hand-spun milkshakes. You can get the Kool-Aid slushes. Green apple, grape. Neil likes the grape. Check those out on Highway 6 West, and we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Then it's up to you. You can take the quote and shop it, or you can take that quote and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for listeners of this podcast, as we've been telling you, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, all over Mississippi, from Atlanta to Shreveport. It's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Clark Ford in Amory. And then at the end of the deal, tell Corey you heard about it here on this podcast. You heard about it on the Beer Garden podcast, a really good Beer Garden podcast yesterday with Jeffrey Wright. a lot of NBA, a lot of Major League Baseball, and then just a lot of stuff, including some pretty funny stuff about media days, is there on that podcast. You tell it, you can mention either one of those to Corey. $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford in Amory. Again, the number 662-257-1900.
Yeah, Jeffrey over there the entire week doing multiple shows. He is he's basically trying to handle Memphis Radio from Hoover on starting on Monday.
He'll do really well. See, they have an easy topic today in Memphis. Randolph. Today's easy.
Full day of Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph day.
It's Zach Randolph day. Call, lines open.
There's a decent chance that it's Tony Allen day in the coming day or two. As someone who spent a lot of energy cheering against that group.
You always liked that group, though.
I always, their fans bug the hell out of me.
It's because you live close to them.
Yeah, that team.
Anybody's fans would bug you if you live close to them.
I admired that team.
Can you imagine if you lived in Oakland?
No.
It'd be rough on you.
All the 35 jerseys.
Even the Spurs fans would bug you if you live next to San Antonio, as much as you like Popovich and those and that team.
I don't know. I think if I lived close to San Antonio,
you might just be a Spurs fan.
I might
honestly
just become a Spurs fan.
That's
I like
point.
Everything about them.
That's a good point. So
even when I'm cheering against them, I'm always kind of like, oh wow, that was really good.
Hope everybody had a good and safe Fourth. I've got here this morning. Neil's got the flags out. Got the red, white, and blue in the bushes.
He's got America.
Basically Claude Rivers today.
Got the Cubs 4th of July cap.
Oh, did you get that one?
Yeah.
Well, since it's their normal colors, it's fine.
Yeah, it looks good.
The ones who, I mean, cause it's like Dylan and I were watching something last night, and he's like, you know, the Braves look okay, the Phillies look okay, the Nationals, was like, well, yeah, they have red in their color scheme. That's
but like the A's or the Rockies.
The Marlins.
Marlins, it's just awful.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Those were the ones that were really rough. So, yesterday, you were going low key yesterday. You weren't doing anything crazy. Best I recall.
Nope, didn't do anything nuts.
Okay.
Craziest thing I did was grilled some shrimp on rosemary skewers.
Ooh,
it was really good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I smoked some stuff yesterday, and I tell you the worst part of it, and it's that, and I don't know why this bugs me because I know I still don't. I've taken two showers, and I still feel like I smell like smoke.
Yes.
And it's just enough where it's driving me crazy. I don't like it. It's bothering me to a very, very high level. Other than that, it was fine. I'll tell you, though.
What did you smoke?
A couple of racks of ribs and a couple of different kinds of sausages yesterday.
It is very difficult to get the smell off of you.
Yeah. Just some smoked sausage and some jalapeno and cheddar sausage.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Good.
Not bad at all. One rack of dry, one rack of wet.
Are you a wet or dry?
I'm a dry.
I am too.
I don't hate the wet unless it's like really, really wet and then I want nothing to do with it. But
it's hard
but the
to
dry
hate
is,
ribs. I much prefer dry.
I think I got the temperature pretty good yesterday and everything because they held the bone, but they were still tender. They didn't just fall off when you picked the bone up.
Right.
I don't necessarily like that. I want to have to pull it off. But once you grabbed it, it would come off easily. So it was good.
But you don't want it to be like Clark and Christmas Vacation, where it's
well, no, of course, no, still tender, still moist, just not, just needs to hold the bone a little bit. I don't want to pick the rib up and all the meat slide off onto the plate.
Along the lines of smelling like smoke, so it was last Saturday. I had to get Caroline to the airport. She had a 6:30 flight. She was an unaccompanied minor, which is, if you've never done that, there's a lot of
stuff.
Security, which is good. I'm pro security as it pertains to my 14-year-old. I'm not complaining. But I had a pork shoulder on the smoker, and I was getting it off to put a brisket on.
Okay.
This is 3:30 in the morning, and by the time I got through with that transition, I smelled like hickory, and I showered. In the shower, just scrubbing.
Like,
I got in the car and we're driving, and I said, "Caroline, do I smell like smoke?" "No." And I'm like, "God, it must be up in my nostrils or something. All I smell right now is smoke."
Yeah, I know. And look, this is really from a foray into adulthood, and when I mean adulthood as kids, more responsibility than just, oh, I'm over 18 and whatever, and I can go to war and vote and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, like, real mortgage-level adulthood. There is not, and I'm in my second year of it, there is not a more get-off-my-lawn moment for an early 30s, late 20s than the fireworks waking the damn kid up at night. And it, look, and here's my deal with this, is that I am very cognizant that no one made me have children, that I do not get special privileges because I have children. I hate the person who, every time you ask him to do anything, well, I've got kids. It's like, well, we all have kids, or we all have something that we do with our discretionary time, bud, so that doesn't change your life. That drives me crazy is the I've got kids guy. Gotcha. They can never do anything.
I understand.
So I get that they have full rights for the fireworks. But at the same time, number one, I need to hurry up and get into the city limits. Two, there should be some parental maturity discretion of, at 10 o'clock, cut it out.
Yeah. I'll give North Point credit last night. From about 8:30 to 9.
Sounded like Iraq.
It was Fallujah.
Yes.
From 9 to 9:15, it was just kind of like Southside Chicago, a shot here, a shot there.
Just a few drive-bys.
Yeah. And then it was over. I don't think I ever heard one after 9:15. And so, to Oxmoor and North Point and Audubon, I don't think there's anybody in Audubon firing off fireworks. But in the event,
don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But if there were, everyone generally sort of loved thy neighbor a little bit.
Yeah, someone about three houses behind me basically had a Revolutionary War cannon going off every 5 minutes until about 10:20.
10:20 is too late.
I mean, it was
10:20 is too late. If you bitch about anything before 9, you're being the old man, get off my lawn. In my opinion, 9 to 9:30 is a gray area.
Starts getting into the...
And anything after 9:30, you're just being an ass. With the one exception of New Year's, where it's understood going in, stuff's going to happen at midnight.
Yeah.
It's the one day
it
of the year.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's going to be midnight because the holiday is a midnight holiday.
Well, see, my neighborhood at least has just done basically the one night. Like, I saw Kyle Tucker, who covers Kentucky basketball, on Twitter yesterday, and he had made mention he's got like twin 4-month-olds or something. And... Oh. Said that he'd had 4 or 5 straight nights of it, and basically it was like, look, you get one more, then I'm hunting you down. Like, any fireworks past July 4th, and we have a major issue here. But now somebody tweeted at me and said that they still had fireworks going off in their neighborhood about 10:30, and I had to go in. I had to, like, crank the sound machine all the way up, and then it's try to comfort the dogs as much as possible to keep the barking and screaming from the animals out of the house that then wakes the child up. That is the problem. It's not necessarily the fireworks directly waking the child up. It is the dogs that get bothered in the middle and then wake the child up.
And then once she's up...
Oh, you're done.
You're done.
For an hour.
Because she's pissed.
Yeah, let's go read the animal book and do all these things. So, penguin, dog, lion, macaw, remember?
Macaw.
Yeah. Kitten, cow, macaw.
Yeah, no. After 9:30, it's wrong. Up until 9, it's all good. And the people that bitch about that, it's like, well, come on.
What'd you expect, bud?
It's the 4th of July. There's going to be some fireworks. If you don't like that, I mean, I don't want to name names, but there was someone in our neighborhood who was making a big deal about the New Year's thing. And, you know, hey, just remember there are dogs and kids and stuff. And it's like, it's New Year's Day. It's going to happen.
I was never a big fireworks person.
I'm scared of them.
Really?
A little bit.
Well, I think I've told the story here. You know, one of my best friends growing up, we were 13, I think, 12 or 13. And after an all-star baseball game, because back when I was that age, it was the quote-unquote style to, like, wear your caps really low with, like, the bill was really, really curved, kind of roll down over your eyes. And, I guess it was a bottle rocket, got shot and got caught up under his hat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And it popped in his eye.
Oh, my God. Put his eye out?
He didn't lose the eye, the best I remember, but he lost basically 80% of the frontal vision in his eye, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and you've seen people get fingers blown off, hands blown, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Well, yeah, one of the dumber things we've all ever done is when I was younger, we'd have the fireworks wars where you're shooting Roman candles at other people.
Yeah, that's dumb.
It's like, what's the best thing that could happen here? I mean, you know. Hey, M80s, watch out. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, that was my, again, that was going to get off the lawn moment last night, but it's okay. Survived, made it through it. Just kind of gritting my teeth. I'm wanting to scream and punch the dog. And instead, I've got the dog like under my shoulder, just constantly panting and having 8 panic attacks.
Kind of a journalism thing from yesterday. Were you following the Gordon Hayward story as it developed?
I was a little bit. I'm not, you know, not an NBA guy, but I couldn't help but notice it. He was not indecisive. He was breaking his own news on the Players Tribune.
It leaked 10 o'clock.
It did.
I loved how the one reporter, I think it was Chris Haynes, broke it. And all Chris Haynes did for the ensuing 7 hours or 8 hours was just stay silent. People coming after him. Are you going to retract? Nothing. I mean, when it was over, he just kind of did a little tweet.
What did he say? It was over?
Let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
In the meantime, while you're doing that, I give Dan Wetzel a lot of credit last night for his tweet. So Gordon Hayward was conflicted in wrestling with the decision, yet he managed to own a 2,100-word column on it. Legendary deadline writer.
Yo, I didn't see that. So he tweets at, it was 19 hours ago, he tweets, free agent Gordon Hayward plans to sign with the Boston Celtics, league sources tell ESPN.
Okay.
And then 5 hours later.
5 hours.
He tweets nothing for 5 hours. 5 hours later, he tweets the photo of Hulk Hogan with his hand to his ear.
Let me hear you.
Let me hear you.
Good enough. At that point, you are silent, you are waiting, and you are praying to the journalism gods that you are correct.
Yeah, you know that he called his sources back and said,
we good?
Hey, all, and someone said, dude, it's done.
I don't know what he's waiting on, but yes.
At that point, you probably figure it out. Oh, he's doing a Players Tribune thingy. His Players Tribune thing was as good of a Players Tribune thing as you're going to read.
Well, it was a thank you.
It was an attempt for the Utah people not to hate his guts.
Yeah, well.
Good luck.
It's sports. You're going to get your guts hated.
Yes. Rudy Gobert did a little tweet later, a little Instagram thing where it basically says it's my team now.
So they're going to suck now?
They're going to suck. But they went from being a 55-win team to a 47-win
team.
What's
it do for Boston?
Oh, listen. No, well, now, here's Boston's problem right now is that they've got three or four pieces that they're going to have to move one or two to get under the cap.
Okay.
Under the hard cap.
Yeah.
So they're either going to have to move Jay Crowder or move Marcus Smart, and maybe both, but certainly one. He gives them a different – he gives them another elite scorer.
Can they win a title?
I think they can win an Eastern Conference title.
Yeah. Your good news is you only got to beat one bear over there. Don't have to beat four.
I'd still pick Cleveland.
Okay. That was my question really more than anything else. Because the East-West thing is what it is.
But they'd have a better shot at Cleveland.
Of course. I
mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
But
they can't add another piece now by any means.
Not right now.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's another major trade in the works.
Right.
But their problem is the way the league works is in any kind of a sign-in trade, you get hard capped at $125 million. Like, you cannot go over it. And you
not a luxury tax, a hard cap.
A hard cap, the apron, I think they call it. Okay. 125. You can't go over that. Well, they're at like 133 right now. They have no flexibility at all.
Okay.
Like, there's talk about them trading Marcus Smart to either Dallas or Oklahoma City, two teams that have a trade exception, and basically just getting a second-round pick just here, unload some money. I'm sure they'd love to get something back for Jay Crowder, but what you'd love to get back for Jay Crowder, unfortunately for Boston, is some pieces that you could then waive.
Yeah, no, I get it. Continuing that conversation, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Sittle County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. Our underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting looking local underwriting and understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Contact Jason Lowe about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him 662-234-2704. Or JLowe, it's LOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Someone on the message board mentioned this the other day. You go to the residential properties and neighborhoods tab on his site at harryalexander.com. It's updated daily. It's an interesting real estate market in Oxford that gets more interesting all the time. You want someone who knows the market and can help you make sure you get a deal that you're happy with now and down the road. That's Harry. It's H-A at HarryAlexander.com. We'll have guests join us a lot next week and hopefully sometime in the next day or two. They'll join us on the Rebel Locker Room hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles. It's there at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets still available, olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, today's a good day to go to Grenada Nissan. They've got some great post-4th of July specials going on. New Nissans, previously owned Nissans, great lease deals as well. All of that at Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer for the fall 2017 season is going on through Friday. So don't wait. If you're interested, it costs $55 per child. There is a multi-child discount available. Age range 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year, the season will begin in late August. It'll run through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season begins. The game's played at FNC Park. To learn more, OxfordParkCommission.com.
So quick aside here, we talked about it being a must-watch movie a few weeks ago. Top Gun 2 been giving an actual release date.
Really?
Yeah, have you not seen this?
No. I'm so out of the loop. I did see an Amelia Earhart documentary teaser.
Earhart?
No, yeah, what did I say?
Earhart? Earhart. That would be interesting.
Amelia Earhart.
She have a 3 on the side of her plane?
Don't they? Yeah, she did. She went out going, Dale! They think they found photographic evidence that she did not crash, that she was caught by the Japanese and was imprisoned really? For the rest of her life. Yes. A legitimate deal comes on Sunday night. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw, was it Beschloss that put out the note that I'd read before from her? It's like basically the prenup to her husband that was the coldest letter in the history of the world.
It was awesome.
It's basically, I don't even really like you, and I don't know why we're doing this, but sure.
I don't know why we're doing this. I'm going to sleep with other men. You can sleep with other women. It's cool.
She said that.
And in a year, if I still feel this way, you'll let me go, right? This is stupid.
And in the meantime, I'll give you whatever part you feel like you want for some reason.
Yeah, I don't really know what you see. I don't feel anything for you, but okay.
Whatever.
You seem like a nice enough guy.
That's the gist of this letter.
Yeah.
I think it was Beschloss to put it out.
We got to find that. We'll maybe break that down at some point. It's awesome.
He would actually be on my, you know, the whole, hey, who's the foursome to play golf with or the five people to meet in dinner. Beschloss as a podcast guest would be one of my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, absolutely.
Just a fascinating dude, even from just a Twitter follow standpoint. So, anyway, yeah, reading here. Maverick will open July 12th, 2019. Paramount has set the release date for then. Tom Cruise back playing the lead, and it will be titled Top Gun Maverick. It's being begin filming by the end of the year. Oblivion director Joseph Kosinski is circling the sequel to the 1986 hit, which follows fighter pilots as they grapple with drone technology that is making their old style of flying obsolete. Jerry Bruckheimer is returning to produce the sequel. Obviously, Tony Scott was the director for the original. He has since passed away. The first one also starred in Anthony Edwards. Not sure who else is coming back to this point that I'm aware of. Trying to see. So far, Top Gun sequel has a date to itself. A Spider-Man, a Homecoming follow-up is set for a week earlier, while The Lion King opens a week later, currently, already for 2019.
I'm looking forward to Top Gun 2.
Are you?
I love Top Gun 1.
Are they all too old now to or are we older with them so it's fine? Like how are we going to feel about this? Do we need Val back? Is he going to lose weight? Is he still fat? What is our situation?
I think our generation will be nostalgic.
I mean, and I say that I was 2 when this movie came out, but still,
I was in high school.
Yeah,
I think I will be nostalgic enough about it,
kind of like Rocky's movies. Yes. At this point, okay.
Yeah, like when I went to see Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, was it a far-fetched that a 60-year-old man could fight the heavyweight champion of the world? Yeah. But I suspended that in my own mind.
It's Rocky.
And just said, hey, there's Rock. Let's go, man.
You got the gang back together again.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here. It's the same thing as the stupid TV show reunions. We just want to see our people together.
Yeah,
I don't really care what they're doing.
That's the whole, it wasn't very realistic. You know?
Yes, Antonio Tarver would have beaten the hell out of him. I get it.
Of course. I'm not going to the movie for realistic.
Ivan Drago would have beaten the crap out of him, too, back in the day. And he did, actually, but almost killed him.
Now, on the flip side, I think my boy Apollo Creed. I'm kidding. I wanted to name Gus Apollo.
Why didn't you? Your dog.
Overruled.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
4-1 vote.
4-1?
I think Carson probably was on my side.
Like, say, how'd you not get the kids' vote?
Apollo would have been a good name. Anyway, I'd like to see that. I'm going to see it. And if it's bad, it's just 2 hours. It's just 2 hours.
Okay, speaking of, have you seen this where Stallone on Instagram has been kind of teasing a Creed 2?
Really? No, I haven't.
Okay. Actually, let's see. Let me find where it starts. So, June 26th, I guess. No, I'm sorry. June 25th is the first time that it was really mentioned. Again, I told you the other day, as we mentioned the diet, that Stallone puts out tons of archive photos, lots of different things on Instagram. So, on June 26th, he says, really like this rare picture, Rocky making Drago's life difficult between takes. Hashtag Creed 2, hashtag MGM, and then at Dolph Lundgren. And the picture is Rocky sitting on Drago's back while Drago is doing push-ups in the ring. Just a clown around picture in between takes, basically.
Let me see that photo. That's funny.
Okay, so a day later, he says, sparring with heavyweight giants can be tiring but fun. Hashtag Creed 2. And it's just him sitting in the corner while filming Rocky IV. Okay? Then, on 6 days ago, he says, directing Apollo and Drago, the two best cinema boxers that ever lived. Maybe it's time to try again? And then, on 2 days ago, so whatever day that was, Monday, I guess, he's got a Photoshop picture of Adonis Creed and Drago in the ring together.
Ooh.
With him on the side. So clearly someone Photoshopped that for him, gave it to him to post. And his caption is, here's a chance to stretch your imagination. History will always repeat itself in one form or another. Just got to be ready. Sins of the Father. Hashtag Creed 2. Hashtag Rocky Balboa.
Is it possible that Adonis Creed is going to fight Ivan Drago's kid?
Ooh, we're going back to Moscow for Christmas, aren't we, Neil?
I mean, listen. No matter what happened that day in Moscow when Rocky avenged Apollo's death at the hands of Ivan Drago.
With his own wife in the other corner with Drago.
Yes. Well, she was a comrade.
She was.
bitch. It's still unfinished business.
Is it?
I mean, if you're Adonis Creed, Yeah, it's nice, but that didn't. What'd that do for you? Because Rocky, as you remember now from Creed, spoiler alert, after the funeral of Apollo Creed, never checked back with Apollo's wife or anything. So it wasn't like he was a big part of their life. It wasn't a.
No, he shut down. He shut it down.
Yeah, disconnected. He didn't. That was closure for Rocky. But was it closure for the Creeds? I would argue that it was not.
So we got this 6'8" machine somewhere over in Siberia that's Drago's kid.
And I'm guessing that Ivan Drago's wife cut him off for at least a year after losing that fight. But at some point, they probably resumed some form of relations and perhaps had a child.
Apollo is walking down the hall currently.
Yeah. Goodness.
Sorry about that. There's rhinos in the house. Yeah.
Hey, Carson, could you close the door here, bud? We're trying to do a podcast. But thank you. Oh, it's okay. You're good.
Yeah. Brought some levity. Look, if the writers aren't in a room doing this, they should be. I don't know what the plot's going to be, but if this isn't the plot, I have a problem. We need the hand raised, guys, Jeffrey says.
Wouldn't you think that if Ivan Drago and his wife...
He's not fighting Dolph Lundgren at this point.
Well, no, because he's old.
Well, Tarver, Rock...
That's true.
No.
How old would Ivan Drago be today? What would his age range be? Because he was, say, 25 then,
give
right?
Give me a minute. I can probably get you an exact answer if you'd like.
He's at least 40.
He was a captain, by the way, captain of Ivan Drago.
Oh, okay. What was she? She was something. She was a because she was wearing.
This was 1985.
Uniform. Yeah.
His age? Do they give it?
He's in his 50s now.
He was 32-0 at the time of the fight.
Yeah, he was in his 20s, and that was 30 years ago. He's a 50-something-year-old man, yeah. Maybe 60.
Yeah.
Now he's old enough to have an adult son.
Hey.
You know, and who grew up in a different Russia than his dad, who might have different views, and yet Adonis hunts him down because he needs closure.
So Adonis is the aggressor here.
Adonis might be the aggressor, and Ivan Drago, old man Ivan Drago, in the corner. Oh,
with Rocky in the corner.
With Rocky in the other corner, staring each other down.
Are we in Moscow, or are we back over here?
Oh, no, we take that bitch.
We going back over to Russia?
Absolutely. Because it's a different Russia. It's a Russia that was liberated by Rocky Balboa.
I need a montage in the snow. He's got to run up the same damn mountain.
Adonis has to have old school training. Because Rocky's a big old school training guy.
Still.
When he got ready to fight the champ that was going to prison, it was old school training.
Yeah. Not a lot of technology.
Now you go back to Russia and you climb mountains with things on your back.
All jokes aside, you'd watch the crap out of this.
Are you kidding? Minute it opened. I'm there. You would too.
Yeah. Can you name one of the three nicknames of Ivan Drago in his ring, in the ring when he came in?
Ooh.
I would have gotten two of the three.
Okay. The Russian Sickle.
Nope.
No?
Good guess, though. Should have been.
The Russian Sickle was a wrestling move that Nikita Khrushchev and Ivan Koloff had. That's where I got that.
Cool.
Because the Russian Sickle broke Kevin Sullivan's arm. I'm embarrassed, but no.
The Siberian Express. I would have gotten that one. Okay. The Siberian Bull. I did not know that one.
Okay.
And Death from Above.
Yeah.
Death from Above.
It's prophetic.
Build is 6'5", and build of having a 101 amateur record.
He lost a fight as an amateur?
What it says on Wikipedia, I'll take their word for it. With 100 knockouts.
Pretty consistent.
Something like that. So, anyway. All right, anyway. So, we get Top Gun 2. We get potentially Creed 2 at some point. We're just remaking a lot of old movies that people enjoy. Probably got another Rambo coming out at some point, maybe. Although we did that a few years ago. We did the last Rambo movie in maybe 2007, 2008, somewhere in there.
Does it make me less of a guy that I was never really into the Rambo movies?
Why?
I don't know, because it's macho stuff, and I just never did much for me.
The line where the dude's sitting there, and he's got the highway patrol wants to, or the state police want to go in and get Rambo out of the mountains, and the old commander looks at him and goes, "Hope you brought enough body bags. Good luck."
Yeah.
You got one dude up here that's an Army Ranger or a Green Beret or whatever he is, and he's about to take out every one of you local yokels.
You had a great first half against Gene Swindle.
Defense really broke down late, missed a lot of three-point shots. We really got away from our game plan, tried to feed the post. They started settling for bad shots.
Yeah, and once they start not falling, it's just hard to get them to fall again.
Yeah, had to.
And he got hot. With a lot of help,
got very from his hot. Friends. Yes, there was a hell of a halftime speech going on there in that one.
That is one serious fan base, man.
Not much they like more than online polls.
They love them some online polls.
Yeah, it is pretty much a state battle the rest of the way. Except I think Rick Cleveland's still alive, and the Southern Miss beat writer's still alive. I think those are the two.
Only because he hasn't gone up against a state writer yet.
At least one of the scout machines to this point.
He's had a.
I think he did have to knock off Logan Lowry along the way, but Logan doesn't get the pull from the mafia.
Really?
No.
He's not one of the.
Because I saw vote counts, and that one only had like 700 votes. That's like half of what most of them were getting.
So he's had a fortuitous draw.
Yeah, and I had a fortuitous draw to get to the 16.
God, just take a shot at Russell while you're at it.
Well, I only had to go through Ole Miss people. I didn't have to run through the state person. Had it been an Ole Miss bracket, I think I would have liked my chances to hang on for a while.
I think you would have won. That may have been what he should have done, was had an Ole Miss bracket.
Put all the Ole Miss people on one side, put all the state people on the other side, and then just make them have to go only head-to-head once at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the move here.
Maybe that was the way to go.
You think so?
Maybe so.
But congratulations, Gene Swindle, on his advancement to the Elite Eight. It's fine. Got me in 2007. Got me again. It's okay. 10 years later. 2027.
Were you pissed when he ran over you? Did you look up like, have you lost your freaking mind?
I don't really remember. Everybody asked me that, and it's a bit of a blur because that day had the Ed Orgeron snakes in my head thing when he was talking to Chuck. It was his last game. It's blowing the whole thing. It's the 4th-and-1. It's the Pegues return. I was under the goalpost when they had the kick at the end that won it or whatever it was.
That was 07.
Yeah, it was 2007. Orgeron's last regular season or last game. I was really proud. The only thing I remember about that is him hitting me. And then we did kind of look at each other for that second, like, chill, like, just settle or whatever.
He apologized?
Because he must have, because like, I don't remember it being a big deal. Like, I remember it being kind of stupid, but it not being a deal by any means. I've never really had a problem with Gene. I haven't talked to him a whole lot, but I don't know him that well. But, no, it was as fine as it could have been considering what happened.
We should get him on the show to relive that moment.
Could. Probably doesn't remember it, but anyway. It was a lot to that. I remember being just mentally drained from that season because it's another year of Ed. It was a team that went 0-8 in the league, which, look, it's not really even a win-loss thing as much as how bad that sucks to cover that every single day. That was bad. And then knew the coaching search was coming right after that. I do remember I was very pleased with my headline. I was working for the Spirit at the time, and I used the headline "Woe-8" because they went 0-8 in the league. I do remember that after the game, but that's really all I've got from that one. But yeah, it's a weird day.
I remember that game. I was in Atlanta. If I remember right, I was in Atlanta because I'm almost positive this is right. Atlanta was like my base. I had to drive to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. And then after the Iron Bowl, I was driving back to Atlanta because I had an early flight to Charlotte to cover Saints-Panthers noon Sunday. And I can remember thinking that was going to be a relaxing day. And I was covering the SEC at the time for the Press Register. And I started getting calls from people who knew what they were talking about, that Orgeron was out. And it was the first time that Houston Nutt's name got thrown my way. I heard it that guess that was a Friday, right? Mm-hmm. I heard it that Friday.
I'm a Saturday, actually.
I never think it was a Friday. Friday? I think. I could be wrong, but I think it was a Friday. Almost positive. Because later that afternoon, after I'd first heard Nutt's name, Arkansas beat LSU.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Do I have that right? I don't know. If I don't, I will be corrected.
November 24th is when a lot of videos went up from that. But hold on, let's see. Ole Miss. Oh, no, here we go. I got a game summary from ESPN. It was November 23rd, 2007. If that helps whatsoever. It doesn't, probably.
I want to say that was a Friday.
Ole Miss was up 14-0.
Yep.
Until Wesley Carroll threw a touchdown pass to Anthony Dixon with 7:51 to go in the first in the fourth quarter, 14-7. Then the Pegues touchdown with 2:38 to go, 14-14. And then Adam Carlson hit a 48-yarder to win it with 12 seconds left in the game.
Is that where he went for it on fourth and one?
It was, yeah. If I remember, maybe handed it to Ben Jarvis.
Yeah, and everyone in the stadium knew that's where the ball was going to go.
Well, or just punt. It was midfield, pin them back. They had no offense.
Right, go to overtime and take your
chances.
Well,
no, you're up 14-0.
Oh, that's
no,
oh.
The fourth and one was when they were up 14-0.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, no, they were up 14-0 at midfield, and he went for it to try to put it away, I think. Or, yeah, it had to be because they punted to Pegues later.
See, I didn't watch that game. I was in a hotel room. Like I said, it was like going to be a relaxing day, and I was at the airport Hilton in Atlanta, and I was just chilling.
All right. Yes, Ole Miss is up 14-0. Okay, there's 12:44 to go in the game. Ole Miss is facing fourth and one. At the Ole Miss 49-yard line. But Jarvis Green Ellis rushes for a loss of 3 yards to the Ole Miss 46. And then after that, State goes on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 play drive that cuts it to 14-7 from midfield. They hit a big pass. They had a 24-yard throw from Carroll to Dixon that got them down inside the 10, and they scored. So, yes, it was 49-yard line, fourth and one with 12 minutes to go, up 14-0.
Wow, what are you thinking?
Well, he had snakes in his head.
He thought if he won big enough that it would buy him another year. That's what he thought.
And it was just, hey, let's go put it away. Like it was right. Just it wasn't, hey, you've got enough probably. They suck. Just stop. It was.
Truth is that what happened the next day was happening no matter what.
It's where a lot of times we over, you know, because again, the last 2 years, the road team has won. It's where we overlooked a lot of times that maybe the, you know, a lot of times when the road team lost or the home team won, it's because somebody just did something stupid over the course of the years. You know what I mean? Like Ole Miss was well equipped to win the game that day, even as bad as they were.
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of that along the way.
Sure.
So, whatever. Now, after that, walk down memory lane, which I'm sure all of you probably wouldn't have enjoyed except for our number 9 market this month with the podcast. Master Cuts is announcing their new partnership, obviously, with Spray South, we've been telling you about. They've got Skeeter Beaters. It's a ready to eliminate those pesky mosquitoes, prevent you from enjoying your back porch every afternoon. The 28 diseases that they carry, Skeeter Beaters vows to provide the same great customer service as parent companies are built upon. The service lasts 3 to 5 weeks per spray, depending on the weather. They offer single application pricing and seasonal packages. They serve all of North Mississippi, so Tupelo, Oxford, Grenada, Amory, and more. Give Skeeter Beaters a call, 662-607-7773, or check them out, mastercutslawn.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs on to their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card just like you do today. You pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology with Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. If you're ready for something more than the terminal, Ben Brown and team has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, and time cards. It makes your life much easier. It normally costs $1,200, but you let Ben know you heard about this on the podcast. You get it at no cost and still save monthly versus what you are paying to process today. Journey Business Solutions can do business nationwide. They often work with merchants previously declined and can get you out of your contract. Send Ben an email at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. The process is very easy. He will get back with you right away to help you get started. The podcast is also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, snapper and cobia are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day of 2017. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is inshore trips, speckled trout, triple tail, sometimes called blackfish. Those are really popular trips right now. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South owned and operated by husband and wife duo Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, it can service most any of your tailgating needs. Full season packages, SEC packages, rental packages, it's all there. Here's the main thing you need to know. 7 South is the largest vendor in the Grove. They know every customer by name. They also typically sell out for every game, so visit the site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site, 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell 662-321-1682.
So, again, there's not much going on these 2 weeks, so we're just covering some other topics that you may find interesting. Some buddies and I had some conversations about this yesterday. So, 538, the website connected to ESPN, most people use them for political stuff, but they do just anything with numbers, really, statistics. Did you see this about steak consumption yesterday, Neil?
No.
Okay. So how Americans order their steak. This is the share of steak orders by preparation method based on data that the Longhorn Steakhouse Company provided to 538. They gave 538 a lot of different information about every steak order at all of their companies around the country, world, wherever they are, I don't know.
Okay.
Between May 30th, 2016 and May 21st, 2017.
Okay.
So 1 year, basically.
Yeah. 355 days.
Again, this is just Longhorn, so if you want to make any whatever, go ahead, but it's a pretty good normal sample size.
It's as close to scientific as you're probably going to get.
Yeah. Look, it's not a five-star restaurant, but it's also nowhere near the worst chain restaurant you can go to either.
But if you go into a Longhorn one day and a five-star restaurant the next day and you have steak both days,
you're ordering it probably the same way with the one exception. And I will say this.
Okay.
I have a tendency, and a couple other people yesterday I mentioned this too, agree with me, to order one less temp than I want at a lot of chain restaurants because I'm expecting it to be just slightly overcooked.
Okay.
I've found over the years that medium rare tends toward medium. Medium tends toward medium well. I'm more likely to go rare or rare plus at a restaurant that is a chain restaurant.
Gotcha.
Wrong, right, don't, no idea, but that is something that I have started doing over the years.
Probably right.
Okay. So in saying all those things, here we go.
Okay.
Medium steak preparation leads the way at 37.5%.
Okay.
Not surprising.
No.
Very, very... Very, very expected.
Yeah.
This is where I got surprised. Medium well is second.
That would be my guess.
At 25.8%, beating medium rare at 22%, well done at 11.7%, and rare 2.4% along the way.
And rare is literally nothing but a sear. Boom, sear out. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It varies a little bit by cut of meat. They also broke it down those ways. Prime rib was the steak that was the rarest when ordered. That's not surprising. Most people eat prime rib much rarer than a lot of steak. Filet next, along with a bone-in ribeye, as I'm kind of looking, although still a lot of more cooked steaks in those areas too. You know, what's interesting about it is prime rib or filet, much more cut of meat that is ready for rare versus, you know, ribeye, because of the extra fat, actually needs to be cooked just a touch longer
to break down some of the connective tissue. Yeah,
you're breaking down the tissue, whereas filets and prime ribs, just sear them and hand them to me for the most part.
Yeah, I screwed up filets.
Did you really?
Last night. I'll tell you what I did. Because Laura likes her filet barely dead.
Yeah, rare.
And I had it cooked just right and should have left it alone, but she had me put it in the warming oven, 170 degrees, just to keep it warm. I'll put it in the wrong damn oven, and I put it in the oven that was at 400. And so it basically got medium well.
Didn't go well.
No, did not go over well.
Here's what I find most interesting about all this is a May 2014, for lack of a better word, investigation by 538 looked into how people ordered steaks.
Okay.
And it was essentially done to make fun of people that ordered beef well done. They admit that that's what they were going for. They wanted to make fun of people that eat shoe leather.
And they were shocked to find out how many people liked it that way.
Well, no. What they found out is that people lie about this. That it is seen as a refinement or
a cultural
thing.
Issue.
Where he sees a lot of people that order their steaks well done or medium well, on surveys and polls say they eat it medium rare to medium. That a lot of them will not admit the actual temperature they eat their steaks at. Of all things to lie about, a cut of meat.
Yet let's be honest here. Okay. If you're sitting at a table with a group of people and you're ordering steak and someone orders their steak well done,
you're judging.
I mean, you almost have to stop yourself from, like, looking at them.
Sure, you just didn't want the minute steak, bud?
Yeah, it's like, really? You're going to do that?
They have pork chops.
See? You judge. No one wants to be judged.
No, I'm not going to really care. It's more, no. I just want to make fun of my buddy. Because I'm normally eating with someone that I can make fun of, and it's okay. I mean, if I'm on a business dinner and some guy's trying to hand me thousands of dollars, I'm probably not going to go, hey, what the hell?
Right.
What are you doing?
I've actually had people say, if you're going on a business dinner, don't go to a steakhouse for that reason.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not in a field where I do a lot of business dinners.
But go to a restaurant where you just order off the menu and it's prepared as prepared.
Yes.
Fish, seafood, whatever.
Yes.
That, fair?
That steak puts people in an awkward spot. It doesn't for me because I'm medium rare. Now, I don't like it rare.
See, trend me more rare than medium.
I want medium rare.
But it's because I eat a lot of filet. And I mean, look, there's people that will judge you over that because they go, hey, that's not a flavor. You know, that's a flavorless meat and all this stuff.
I'm one of the few people that prefers strips and ribeyes to filets. I like filets. They're great. If you'd give me my choice, I'd rather have a really good strip or a really good ribeye.
But it's got to be really good because otherwise you just get a lot of fat and gristle and it's a lot of mess to even try to eat.
If it's a messy ribeye, I'll get to it.
It's a beef cut of having to peel crawfish. It's a lot of work for not a lot of effort.
I won't even fool with it.
Yeah.
Now, at a really high-level restaurant.
Well, yeah, different.
Where you're going to get a really good cut of meat, give me a ribeye because it has the most flavor, I think. To me, it does.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like at a grocery store, I'm probably not getting that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was baffled at them saying the number of people just lie about the cut or the way they eat it. Sorry, not the cut. The temperature. On that form, they go, medium.
It's funny medium. That people would lie about something like that.
Just medium.
Like you would think they'd lie about like how many times do you go to church or whatever. Be like, I go
Yeah,
more.
How much you tithe. I mean.
Yeah.
But not, hey, how do you like your steak?
Right.
You get freaked out if a burger has pink in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I've never had a bout of food poisoning, obviously, because a lot of that stuff just doesn't, whatever.
I've had a bout of food poisoning, and I just kind of rolled on from it. Figured it was a once in a blue moon thing. It was off steak, and I haven't stopped eating steak.
Didn't end it for you?
No. I just rolled on.
Battled through it.
No, I don't think I ate steak for a month or two, but I eventually returned to my love affair with steak.
See, you never got into the thing after through all your diets and stuff. You never really went on a, hey, I shouldn't be eating red meat.
No. I like red meat.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
I never walked in you and, hey, no more red wine, no more red meat.
No. I mean, I don't buy all of it. Everybody says, what causes cancer? Well, what doesn't cause cancer?
I mean, you haven't gotten into the sous vide thing yet either, have you?
Not because I'm against it or anything.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten one.
I was talking to a chef over the weekend that said that it's such a good thing for them for big parties, weddings, different things where they're cooking in mass, because you're setting this temperature and then you just literally sear it or char it after this. If it's steak, let's say, because you're just putting this bag, you're cooking it to whatever your degree is. So it's so easy for them, A, to get the precise temperatures correct on everybody's steaks, and B, everybody gets the same steak. There's no one guy going, oh, well, mine's over, mine's under, or whatever. It literally allows them to break it down to get the exact temperature they're looking for 200 people, which is, let's be honest, impossible on a grill or a broiler or anything else, no matter how good the chef is. So, but it's coming into the houses now. I know a lot of people are using it. I mean, Amazon and different people have made it very cheap for you to purchase one of those little gadgets. Well, I have not done so either. But if you do so, use our link. I'd appreciate that. It's in every content item. It's pinned on the board at rebelgrove.com. You just use it. You bookmark it. Use it when you go to Amazon. You get the same thing. You get Prime. You get Pantry. It just changes your experience in no way whatsoever. But we would appreciate it. Also, again, pint glasses, mugs, koozies. If you would like one with our idiotic characters on them, we can hook you up with that. I mailed out some this week, Tennessee, Florida, throughout Mississippi, another state too that I'm forgetting, honestly, Arkansas. Sent some there as well. So email me, chase.farm@gmail.com, and I can hook you up there.
You want to hear Amelia Earhart's letter?
Well, I have heard it, but if you'd like to read it, that's perfectly fine.
Dear GPP, didn't even say his name. Doesn't even say his name. Just drops initials. There are some things which should be writ before we are married. Things we have talked over before, most of them. You must know again my reluctance to marry, my feeling that I shatter thereby chances in work, which means most to me. I feel the move just now as foolish as anything I could do. I know there may be compensations, but have no heart to look ahead. On our life together, I want you to understand I shall not hold you to any medieval code of faithfulness to me, nor shall I consider myself bound to you similarly. If we can be honest, I think the difficulties which arise may best be avoided should you or I become interested deeply or in passing in anyone else.
In passing?
Please let us not interfere with the other's work or play, nor let the world see our private joys or disagreements. In this connection, I may have to keep some place where I can go to be myself now and then, for I cannot guarantee to endure at all times the confinement of even an attractive cage. I must exact a cruel promise, and that is, you will let me go in a year if we find no happiness together. I will try to do my best in every way and give you that part of me you know and seem to want. A.E. Not sincerely, not love, just A.E. And I guess...
So did they marry? I know nothing married. About her biography.
I think they married.
Can you look that up for me? Yeah. Wikipedia? I need to know how long they were married.
What's his name? George?
Well, just look up her. It'll give spouse on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Let's not overcomplicate this. While you're doing that, I'll tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs. Whether you just need some help managing your medication, because it comes in strip packets. Start the first dose of the day, next dose ready when you are. Makes it easy, can even help save lives. Also, they deliver it to your door. The bigger thing with them, they bring it to you. No more pharmacy trips, no more having to go out of your way to run that errand. They deliver it to you, so check them out, rightwaymeds.com. Also, if you're a doctor or medical provider, they can help with compliance numbers, so check them out for that as well. Again, rightwaymeds.com.
She did marry George P. Putnam.
Okay, how long?
Well, he died in 1950. She disappeared in the 30s and was declared dead in 39. I'm looking for when he married her. She was his second wife.
Okay.
Can't find the dates for how long they were married.
All right. Anything else before I move on?
Well, I'll just tell you real quick that the podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, customer service, and work is second to none. It's an American standard dealer, but Comer works on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his site. It's gotland.com. That's got-land.com. Read his recent testimonials, find out what he has online. But know this, the land market's hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. 662-719-3967 is the number. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
What's your feelings on this? Again, for the most part, pretty high on capitalism. Corona Beer has signed its first college marketing deal. Corona Beer sponsoring the University of Texas. Campaign slogan, horns up, limes in. Enrollment is underage?
I was just thinking what percentage of students are under the age of 21, and I would guess it's at least 50 and probably...
Because you got dropouts and different things. You got a lot more freshmen than you do sophomore, juniors, or seniors.
I guess if you include the University of Texas Med School, yeah, law school, things like that. If you go there, then... But still, 40 to 60%, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know, kind of mixed emotions about it. Wonder how much it pays for Texas.
I mean, if you're Texas, okay, fine, I guess.
I guess. But if you're Texas, are you then promoting underage drinking in some ways? Or are you just saying, hey, look, college kids drink. 19-year-old kids drink. 20-year-old kids drink. There's nothing we can do about
it. So Corona goes, hey, they're going to drink, so let me go ahead and make sure I put my name in front of them.
They're going to underage drink. Let them underage drink us.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see whether that catches on. around the country who becomes the official beer sponsor of the University of Georgia, Florida. I don't think you could get away with it in Mississippi.
You're not?
Not right now. They're such a conservative.
You're in the University of Missouri, are you calling Anheuser-Busch today?
Yeah.
Going, hey.
Why not?
We're here. You're here.
Need some cash.
A couple hours down the road.
All these kids are going to Harpo's on the Landing anyway. Let's sponsor this.
Harpo's on the Landing?
Yeah. It's like there's one in St. Louis. There's one in Columbia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shakespeare's Pizza in Columbia. Really good pizza.
Do you like St. Louis style pizza? It's thin crust, has the sauce, and has like what looks like almost American cheese.
Doesn't bother me. I've had it. It took a minute for me to think St. Louis style. But yeah, I mean, yeah. It's okay. I like thin crust pizza.
I love thin crust pizza. I mean, I actually like
the least best whatever pizza for me is Chicago deep dish. I hate it.
I'm with you.
It's a casserole. It's not a pizza.
I'm with you. I don't like it. Everybody in Chicago raves about it. I'm like, eh.
Well, they call it pizza. It's not pizza. It's an Italian casserole.
It's like this giant pie.
Yeah.
And you eat one slice of it, and you are full for 3 days. If you eat two slices of it, you're sick for 3 days.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Last thing, while we're doing...
kind of mailbag, almost.
Yeah, not really takes, but... what is your opinion? Came out. I guess it came out today, or it's this month at least. ESPN body issue.
Who's in it?
Well, I don't necessarily mean that. Just the idea of it. I mean, I see Caroline Wozniacki. I see Julian Edelman. I don't know.
Doesn't bother me.
It's their answer to the swimsuit issue.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It does well.
I'm sure it does.
It's
tasteful.
Yeah, it's a lot of different body types. Athletes.
So where Javi Baez is in it.
I think I mentioned this last year because we've discussed this most every year on the podcast is it's this time of the year and nothing else is going on. My most startling takeaway is, look, you know that elite athletes are going to have very, very good physiques. That's not a shock, whatever. My one takeaway is always, really, they need a better publicist. NFL offensive linemen get this stereotype of being the fat guy that can't move and go blocks, whatever. They are very, very well put together as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
NFL offensive linemen are not some pudgy group of people.
I mean, there are exceptions to that.
Of course,
but no,
yeah,
but
yeah.
For the most part, they're really strong, big people.
Yeah, better than the 99% of the general population, I would assume.
Oh, I would think that's a safe bet.
So, anyway. Yeah, it's out. I haven't seen all the photos. I haven't looked through it. But 23 athletes are in it. Again, they got a lot of outtakes with Edelman. They've got a lot. I see Ezekiel Elliott just because I'm kind of flashing through here. A.J. Andrews, a softball player that I don't know. Javi Baez, you said. Edelman. Christy Ennis, adaptive sports, no idea. Julie and Zach Ertz, soccer, football.
Olympic skier Gus Kenworthy.
Yep.
Who says he's nervous to bear it all.
Isaiah Thomas, basketball player for the Celtics. Some hockey players. The U.S. Women's National Hockey Team, which appears to be most of the team. Figure skating, Michelle Watterson, MMA, track and field. Wozniacki, as I said. So, anyway. She's dating an NBA or former NBA player, maybe. David Lee, I think, is who she's dating, maybe.
Yeah.
I think
plays
right.
For the Spurs now.
Oh, does he? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe she's dating him. I'm sure Rory's crushed.
I'm sure Jeffrey's had several hot takes on that.
You think so?
Yeah. I would think by now that Caroline Wozniacki and Rory are kind of over.
I would think both sides have chilled. I mean, Rory's been married for months now. Got married in April.
Yeah.
I think.
I suspect they're both over it. For the most part.
Yeah. He's hosting his tournament in Ireland this week.
Did you watch Joey Chestnut?
I did. I could not eat 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
You know, there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory with this. The over-under in Vegas was 71.5, and they gave him the 72nd, even though it was not completely out of his mouth by the time the clock ran out.
What's the rule on that?
Don't know.
You get to finish the one that's in your mouth when the clock goes off, I think Vegas was the rule. Vegas was right on that puppy.
71.5 is where Vegas set that puppy at. 72 was the total.
God, Vegas is good, man.
Even getting the hot dogs, right.
I mean, you just don't bet against Vegas. When they come out with over-unders, number's going to be right around there.
I can't do it, but what's the number it takes to get on that stage?
I think 40?
No, not that high, right? I mean, a hot dog every 15 seconds for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Dude ate 72 of them.
Every 9 seconds, 8 seconds?
Oh, it just makes me sick to think about it. You watch them. Ugh.
Yeah, about eight and a half seconds.
I'm not a big hot dog guy. Like, even if you told me, hey, man, you have all the time in the world to eat these hot dogs. After about 3 or 4, I'm done.
Well, no, you have to eat them quick. You have to eat them quick.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't like hot dogs much.
It's not for the taste. If you're truly competitive eating, you're not trying to savor it.
Yeah, I know, but you...
You can eat 10 in 10 minutes.
I don't think I could.
You really don't?
I don't think I could. Okay.
I got sucked down the rabbit hole because of Dylan the other day. He mentioned the girl that holds the record for the 72-ounce steak and all the sides at that Texas restaurant.
Yeah.
She ate all of it in 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Wow.
72 ounces plus... Like
are you
potatoes.
Allowed to cut it up beforehand?
She did not. She grabbed it and just bit it off as she went. Oh. I believe cutting it up would slow you down, honestly.
I was wondering if you were allowed to cut it up beforehand.
My guess is no, because she didn't do that unless she had that as a waiver. But I started watching a couple videos with her. And one of them, I think, I'm very lucky I didn't throw up watching it, because it's one of the more disgusting foods just to me in general. In like 2.5 minutes, and she must have been doing this for some radio show or TV channel or something, because she was in her own kitchen and put her phone on speakerphone where she's watched, like talking to a guy before she does it, and then there's a camera there too, FaceTiming or Skyping or something in.
My stomach is braced to turn right now.
All right. And in like 2.5 minutes, she eats 6 pounds, I think it was 6, of cottage cheese.
Oh.
I think it was 6 pounds of cottage cheese. I'll send you the link later today if you'd like to watch it.
No, I'm good.
She took the tops off of them, took a spoon, and just went through 6 pounds of it, shoveling it in.
That's awful.
Cottage cheese.
Literally, I'm nauseous right now.
That's what you're getting on today's Oxford Exxon podcast. We appreciate you hanging in with us. If you're here
in a minute, Chase is
going to
say, "What do I title this?" I'm going to say, "I have no idea. What picture do I put with this?"
The woman eating cottage cheese.
Either that or Adonis Creed.
Yeah, one or the other. So, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll try to bring some actual football to you. There just really wasn't anything today, frankly. In that,
lots of football coming next week. Lots of football coming.
Football overdose soon.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, we will bombard you with football. By next Friday, you will be like, can you do something besides football?
Yeah. So, talk to you then. See you tomorrow.